Automated Creative are on a mission to reinvent advertising using artificial intelligence. We're a small team of startup folk who are really changing the way that advertising works. In the last few years, we've worked with brands like Adidas, Samsung, Diageo, Reckitt, KFC, Pernod Ricard, Bose, Unilever, GSK, Mondelez, the list goes on. And we are looking for account management talent. So if you know anyone who is kind of obsessed with creativity, ads, AI, and account management, if you could get them to email rhoda@automatedcreative.net. That's Rhoda, R-H-O-D-A, @automatedcreative.net. And I will love you forever. On with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Shiny New Object Podcast. My name is Tom Ollerton. I'm the founder of Automated Creative, and this is a weekly show where I have the pleasure and the privilege of interviewing our industry's leaders, and this week is no different. I'm on a call with Amy Chiwaye, who is Head of Business Development at Draftline South Africa. Amy, for those listening to this podcast who don't know who you are and what you do, could you give them a kind of quick career overview and tell me a bit about what you do day to day?
Yes, sure. Hello, Tom. And also, well done on saying my surname correctly. My name is Amy, as you've already said. I started in this industry a while back after letting go of going into finance. I was just driven by strategy and having this passion to understand the consumer. It gave me a different way of thinking about what I do. In the past few years of me being in the industry, I've worked in mostly client service as well as strategy in some of the biggest advertising agencies, both globally and locally here in South Africa. And now, as you said, I am currently Head of Business Development at Draftline South Africa.
Fantastic. So can I ask you, in that varied career, what has been the best investment of your time, energy, or money?
That would have to be therapy and meditation, hey?
That's two, surely, but I'll let you have two.
Yeah. But I came from a very intense industry, that being finance and everything, and it's very methodical in a way that doesn't really allow you to really tap into your individual nature. So when I made a change from that industry into this one, into marketing and advertising, I realized that I had to center myself a lot quickly than I thought possible. I decided to invest in that in my life. And yeah, it's a daily practice to date.
And tell me how that works. Is that like an hour long session, or do it in a group, or is it a different type of, you know,
approach? Yeah, so I've got two ways in the way that it works. Every morning, before or after gym, I will meditate for minimum of like 30 minutes just to center myself, just to ensure that I'm feeling okay and ready to take on the day. The other way I attack this is I go to therapy every second week.
And when you say therapy, what do you mean by that?
I have got a therapist. I have got a psychiatrist that I go to every single week, whom we talk about anything and everything.
And how do those two things work together? Do you find yourself ruminating in a meditative way on the conversations you've had with your therapist, or does it work the other way? Do you unlock things in meditation and think, oh, I should probably talk about that?
100%. So I'm very intrigued by the life of a consumer. So if you find that in the space that I find myself in my career, I do a lot of like consumer deep dives. I want to understand why people buy our products. I want to understand what makes people tick. Therapy and meditation, because I am an empath, helps me to separate the two out. And it just gives me a greater sense of understanding of different people. I'm able to tap into different people's ways of thinking, ways of acting, and all of that stuff. And it allows me to just, you know, get to the bottom of who a person is, how they think, why they think that way, and yeah, what makes them tick.
So just let me check I've got this right. So when you're meditating, you're thinking about the consumer.
No, I'm grounding myself so that when I get into the office, I can think about the consumer.
I thought she's really dedicated to the job. Okay.
Dedicated to my job, yeah. No, it just helps me to ground myself in a way that I don't take on other people's emotions specifically. So I run a lot of focus groups with a lot of people. And as I mentioned, I am also an empath. So it's very easy for me to pick up on people's energies and all of that stuff. What meditation does for me is it separates my energy away from anyone that I come into contact with during the day.
So can you clarify what you mean by being an empath for you? What does that word mean to you? Because it means different things to different people.
Right. So being an empath is, the way it means to me is that I'm very easy. It takes very little for me to actually pick up on what energy you're putting out there. So if you are feeling sad or angry and all of that, my energy will almost pick up on that exact thing and sometimes even mimic it. So it's not a great way to live life mimicking everyone that you come across. So I meditate in order to make sure that my own energy is protected. As I go about my day.
So this next question is a planned question, but feels very shallow compared to what we've just been discussed. But we have to move on with the podcast, although I'd love to spend the entire time talking about this. But what is your best marketing tip? What is that bit of killer advice that you give to people or you've always worked and lived by?
The consumer does not speak boardroom. This was told to me by my mentor. Over 10 years ago, I put together a strategy and I presented it through to him. I was quite junior in the field at that moment in time. And I went on and on and on. And, you know, just being in the marketing and advertising industry, we've got a lot of jargon. Towards the end of my presentation, he sat me down and he was like, there's one thing that I would need you to always remember. Consumers do not speak boardroom. Your jargon's not going to go further than like this boardroom here. And it tends to unearth itself in different ways, just the way I interact with the people that I'm trying to sell our products to, and the way I just go about thinking about how people actually run their lives. Yeah, that is my best marketing tip. And I tell it to anyone and everyone who will listen.
And who told you that? What was your mentor's name?
His name is Mike Joubert.
And what's Mike up to these days?
Mike currently owns a strategy-focused business here in South Africa. He did have an agency, which he has since sold to Saatchi & Saatchi. And then he went on to become more of a consultant, a strategy consultant in the comm space.
This episode of the Shiny New Object podcast is brought to you in partnership with Madfest. Whether it's live in London or streamed online to the global marketing community, you can always expect a distinctive and daring blend of fast-paced content, startup innovation pitches, and unconventional entertainment from Madfest events. You'll find me causing trouble on stage, recording live versions of this podcast, and sharing a beer with the nicest and most influential people in marketing. Check it out at www.madfestlondon.com. So we're going to move on now to your shiny new object. So what is your shiny new object and why do you think that it represents the future of the industry?
My shiny new object is data-led creativity. For quite a while in this industry, when a brief comes in, it's backed by a strategy, but not really by data. Moving into Draftline has given me a different view on how we run this industry, on how we see briefs, on how we engage creativity in a way that is still creative and still brings to life stories and, you know, the storytelling element is still very strong there, but it 100% will deliver on your bottom line. So I'm extremely passionate about marketing and advertising, delivering on the return on investment, and having this new way of thinking about creativity being data-led and all of that stuff has given me that shiny new object, glassy eyes.
So you're talking to a subject very close to my heart and in the practice of automated creative, obviously. So I'm just keen to know, how do you guys do it? What are your data points and how do you make sure that you're collecting the right data and making sure that the creative is in fact data informed?
Yeah, we have access. I'm very, very lucky to have access to tools that are very new to our space here in South Africa. Our tools come from New York, which is our global HQ. They are mostly it's basically pegged within social listening. So social listening is, how do I explain this? So it's a tool that we use that gets to the bottom of the conversations that are online specifically. We are trying to find a way to get into conversations that aren't online, but that's a story for another day. We scan the internet, we build stories from it, we see what's happening, and then we make decisions based on what we see, right? And then on top of that, we have got your hardcore data, which is what you would find from, you know, the likelihoods of your biggest social media powerhouses, your Mark Zuckerbergs and all of them. We're constantly scanning the internet, scanning like everything that is out there in order to gather as much information as possible. I'll give you one example. Obviously, during this time of COVID, we've gone through various alcohol bans this side in South Africa, just like majority of other countries across the world. We obviously did not know exactly how to navigate such waters, but managed to do so via our social listening capabilities and all the data that we are able to mine. So we were able to look at what's happening out there in the world, make decisions for how we, you know, proceed. Do we shut down? What are the stories? And then, yeah, we move forward that way.
So can you give me an example of something that's come from the social listening data set that surprised you or something that you weren't expected that was enabled to generate a new kind of creative ideas?
100%. So this one here is, the example I'm going to give you right now is not the biggest creative led example, but it will demonstrate why data is so important. We are having a bit of a problem in South Africa with vaccinating people. And we were able to take the data around vaccination and all of that to help drive what the government is trying to push, in that we need to get everyone vaccinated. We've managed to actually, out of the amount of adults that have been vaccinated here, we vaccinated a third of them directly. And we changed the hesitant ones into positive led people. So they got vaccinated. So yeah, just literally through the use of our data.
And so how can you tell me what the execution was?
So one of the, in terms of creative execution, one of ours was radio. Online in South Africa, we still don't have the biggest penetration into like most of the like remote areas here in South Africa. However, we noticed that the way in which you talk about such a topic, it being something that is not necessarily understood, people are afraid of it because we're in uncharted territories here. It helped us literally just construct a message that we sent via radio through to everyone in the country and got them to rethink how they look at vaccines. So we got them also to stop being so hesitant about them, but just giving them a bit more information, but also giving it to them in a way that's palatable to them.
So what would you say are the biggest challenges you have with being a data-led creative organization?
I think that one of the biggest challenges that we do face is the fact that the penetration of online, like data and the use of our tools and everything, and actually the access to our tools is very difficult here because, as I mentioned, we don't have a lot of people that are online, and that's mostly where we mine our data. So that is one of the biggest things. But, you know, we're constantly, my data team is constantly working on how do we get data to our tables? How do we, you know, make it palatable for everyone so that they can make decisions from there? But yeah, I think it's the access to it and how do we analyze it in a way that people are going to understand it properly. Those are the two like barriers to entry.
And when you're looking to hire people into this data-led creative organization, what are the skills that you're looking for?
So that's weirdly enough something that I had a chat to my boss about 2-3 weeks ago. You have to look for somebody who not necessarily has a university. Obviously, they need to have like their education and everything, but you need somebody who is willing to innovate, somebody who's willing to step out of their comfort zone and learn something new every single day. We need the passion. We need the intrigue. We need people that are intrigued by, you know, these things that are coming out, because at the end of the day, we can't teach them to you. It's like trial and error right now.
And do you think that the candidates that you're meeting, is that the majority of candidates? You would have thought that young people coming into the industry would have a natural interest in, and certainly aptitude for new platforms and new ways of thinking. Or do you feel that people are arriving wanting to behave like madmen and do it the old school way?
We've still got people that are behaving like madmen. But, you know, it's all in, we've got a very intense HR process, bringing people into our realm of career and industry. Only because we need you to be a fit, not just for our culture, but for what we're trying to do. So we do have certain checks and balances that we have in place that are mandated via HR and everything. And literally just having a conversation with a candidate it helps you to notice whether they're going to be a good fit to the organization or not. So yeah, I think we've got about a 5-step process before you get your final, okay, you're hired now.
Wow. Good luck for anyone trying to get a job on your team. But, you know, you'll get the right ones, I'm sure. So if someone wants to get in touch with you about a job, wants to go through the rigors of getting a job with you, or just wants to talk to you about data-led creativity or being an empath or any kind of meditation, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is via LinkedIn. Amy.chiwaye on LinkedIn there. I'm also very happy to connect with anyone and everyone on Twitter. My handle is @LadyChi05. I'm always happy to just have a conversation. I don't mind who hollers at me. More often than not, you connect with me on one of the social platforms, then I will give you my email address and then we can go from there. However, I'm also very happy to give my email address away. It is amy.chiwaye, C-H-I-W-A-Y-E @gmail.com.
And final question, you're a new business development person that must write LinkedIn messages all of the time. What makes a good LinkedIn message to you?
I saw your profile and I really would like to connect. It's really that simple. I don't
think that's just like the automated one that LinkedIn writes anyway. That's the worst one, surely.
I know. Because I mean, quite honestly, I respond to pretty much everyone that like reaches out to me. So it really doesn't matter what you say. I'll definitely respond to you.
Fantastic. Amy, we made this podcast without there being a massive cut in power. We made it happen. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you so much. This was really an honor and a privilege. And yeah, hopefully I get to chat to you again soon.
Hi, just before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you could take the time to write a review of the Shiny New Object podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever it's called these days, or whichever podcast provider you use. We're an indie podcast, so it would go a long way for us if you could just share the word and give us a bit of a support on those channels, that'd just be fantastic. If you haven't got time, that's also cool. And yeah, if you could tell your colleagues about the podcast, and also, if possible, don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love to hear your feedback. If you'd like to speak on the podcast or be a guest, or you think I'm asking the wrong questions, anything, I'd be super interested to hear what you think. So please email me at tom@automatedcreative.net. That's T-O-M at, I'm not going to bother spelling it. Anyway, you'll work it out. Thanks so much.